Thank you very much. Although this was the original talk of the paper, soil moisture as the global environmental integrator, I could have easily changed the title to REIN as the global environmental integrator, just to make clear the point, which I think we have heard already quite a few times, that it's really because of REIN's hard work, maybe not as hard as we think, but he really has made such a big difference in the general environmental sciences, bringing soil physics really at the forefront, and so we want to clearly thank REIN for that. By way of this presentation, which, by the way, was a paper that was co-authored by Harry Vereken and David Robinson, a paper that we is still in the draft stage, but which we want to write basically to justify the need for investment in soil moisture monitoring and need for future investment because it's so important. Now, I dare to compare the impact that REIN has made, that I just talked about in soil hydrology, to the impact, and it's a little bit of I think is it a fair comparison? But in terms of Einstein did and fundamental physics, showing this relationship between energy and mass, which of course REIN did in his way, looking at potential energy and the mass of water in soils and at the macroscopic scale. And in fact, with a little bit of, you see there actually there is quite a significant physical resemblance between the two. It was about, I think, 10, 12 years ago that REIN, together with, and some of the names were listed, with Bob Luxmore and Glendon Gee and Don Nielsen, spent at least 3-4 years working with the Society, the Soil Science Society of America, to make clear that publication of a journal on Vedo Zone would be a good thing for the Soil Science Society of America. And they, and it was really difficult at the time to make that point and to really let them know that this will be a good thing. Is to have a broad journal that would basically, broaden the society and actually bring in some interest from other disciplines, and this vision became a reality about 8 years ago, and REIN became the was selected as being the founding editor, and I think he was happy to accept that, and he did and he says no. And it's really, REIN's dedication before that time, and really as the founding editor to make that vision come true. And I think it has made a big difference. There is some numbers given over there. The impact factor has been great. More than 50% of the authors that submit are actually non-members of the society. And so it's really, in many ways, it's REIN's work that has made that happen. Okay, so going on, I would like to spend about 10 minutes or so, if I may, in focusing a little bit, and I'm a little bit preaching for the choir, I realize, but how important really soil moisture is on a global scale. We all know that soil moisture really drives the continental energy and water cycle. And so by way of transpiration and evaporation across the soil surface. Yet soil moisture makes up only 5.05% of all global fresh water, yet it is essential for us and for the world to grow the food for its population. I want to refer to this report, Water for Food, Water for Life, which was published a few years ago, and there's a lot of information in there in that book. But the question really is there enough water to produce food for our growing population? And this number I just learned not too long ago, but it's an amazing number that really to our diet requires 3 cubic meters of water. Okay, and all that water comes from the soil. It's soil moisture. And this is if you have a more vegetarian diet. If you have a meat diet, it could be double like that. So again, you know, we need that water. And clearly in California in the past 2 years, in addition to the budget debacle we are in, we are just finishing our third drought in California. And so this has enormous consequences for this big state that is the eighth largest economy in the world. Yet, you know, we don't seem to be able to manage our water resources, and it has an enormous impact on the farming community. And it's also I don't think there's any question that that there is a large need and continuous need for the monitoring of the world's water resources and soil moisture in order to forecast the food for the people. Soil moisture also has a lot to do with natural disasters. You know, droughts, reduction in soil moisture, brings with them a lot of forest fires, as not only in the United States, but all over the world, as in Greece this last summer. And with that, of course, that brings in increased probability of erosion and surface runoff, and hence flooding, and higher likelihood for major landslides. We also know that climate change models are very uncertain, and that indeed they could be more certain if there was an adequate provision for including soil moisture in these climate change models, and whether it has to do with temperature or with rainfall. Microbial processes are largely driven by soil moisture, whether it's greenhouse gases or plant or microbial respiration. Again, soil moisture is one of the key variables that we need to monitor. And in fact, ecosystem health in very broad terms, changing biodiversity, and invasive species, a lot can go back to understanding how soil moisture plays a role and how plant species can adapt to changing soil moisture conditions. So there is a need to continue and to actually to let people know in general that in soil science, soil moisture is a very important part of it, and that in fact, in our global environment, we need to continue to focus on soil moisture and let it be heard. And so for that, we also need to invest then, scientific organizations and funding agencies in pushing on to develop these new methodologies to measure soil moisture. And so that is the meat of the talk, right? So I have a few slides that shows actually what some of these developments are. And it's actually quite impressive. Certainly in the last few years, and you know, and some of them we are now here. There are these new little sensors that are becoming quite affordable to buy, and they work very well. So these are, you know, next generations of the dielectric and TDRs, and these then can be networked to indeed monitor over much larger spatial extents. And these wireless networks are really are starting to work. And so myself, I'm involved in what's called the Critical Zone Observatory, but also in Europe, there is this. There are these projects, the Torino projects, and here's a slide for the German SolNet, actually, you know, putting all these sensors together to get a global or a regional a regional idea of soil moisture changes. Our own lab is is working on heat pulse probes, which again is another technology. It's different, but it might actually be another robust way to estimate and measure soil moisture. Again, also could be wireless. Increasingly, we see the emphasis on using geophysical techniques, and I just have one slide over here by David and others in terms of demonstrating how electromagnetic induction can be used to really start mapping soil moisture over larger spatial scales. Since a few years, a new technique came on called distributed temperature sensing, DTS, I think was brought into soils and hydrology with the Salker group when he was at sabbatic in Lausanne. And since Scott was there as well, he has been using it, Scott Tyler, and seeing it, you know, burying this DTS cable in the soil and use the temperature signal to infer soil moisture, and that's what he's working on currently. Global positioning systems that are, you know, through satellites, existing networks exist. What the colleagues in Colorado found out that there is a signal-to-noise ratio there, and that the noise part, the back scattering from the soil surface starts actually being to be highly correlated with soil moisture. And so they have been working on this and providing a much larger footprint to estimate soil moisture. Colleagues in Arizona have been developing what's called the cosmic ray neutron technique, where they actually use cosmic particles, neutrons and photons that are then imparting in the atmosphere and generating new neutrons that are then scattered by the soil surface or by snow or by vegetation. And again, by detecting these neutrons, they were able actually to relate that to soil moisture. And again, if you're looking at the spatial footprint, you see this technique would fit very nicely between the local scale measurements and the much larger satellite scale measurements. So we heard Ben Ayak talking to this morning about it, and I don't know whether that satellite has really actually been launched, but the European Space Agency is launching in the next few days this MOSS satellite to actually provide for soil moisture measurements at much higher spatial and temporal resolutions than has been possible. And actually also in the United States, NASA is preparing to launch such a satellite. So my last slide is to conclude. I think I would not be far off to state that really RIHN and contemporary soil physics are one and the same. I think we all know RIHN, and he has made such an impact that he's sitting there, you know, and this is, you know, really, although he left the United States, you know, and he's working and doing research on Brazilian soils, I'm sure, you know, he's still looking around and making sure that everybody is doing his thing and doing it correctly. And also want to remind with this slide, RIHN was the first that received the Kirkham Award. I'm not sure when that was, about 10 years ago or so, and we had a nice celebration last year in Davis. And indeed, RIHN, you know, received an ERA doctorate with RIHN van der Ploeg prior to his passing in, where was this in Germany?
Hanover.
So with that, thank you, RIHN.